This is a production of Cornell University.
GPSA meeting, January 24th, 2011.
Start the fourth visit meeting for the GPSA of the academic year, the first one of the spring semester 2011. And so, if you do not know, today is the Cornell University Graduate Professional Assembly business meeting. We have members of the voting membership as well as non-voting members present today. So we're going to begin by going through welcome and introductions, and for the welcome part, we're going to go through roll call of the voting members. So if I read out your names, you say if you're here or not. I suppose only if you're here. So Rhonda. Not here. Kyle. Steven.
Here.
Thomas.
Yes.
Nicole.
Here.
Grant is no. Chris Clark.
I.
Evan.
Here.
Billy.
Here.
Bobby.
Here.
Ben.
Here.
Chris Heckman.
Here.
Yevgeny. Yevgeny, not here. Neat. I am here. Asha.
What?
You're here.
Good
enough. Siska. Oh, she's coming late. Jen.
Yeah.
Anantogla. All right, and if I did not call your name, we're going to go around the table and you'll have the opportunity to introduce yourself at this time. So we'll start with.
I'm Marquis Hawkins. I'm the representative
for the state.
Hi, Nancy, who will be the
first
person? Derek Evanson,
I'm the student graduate student trustee.
My name is Catherine. I am
an
observer today.
Back to Brenda.
I'm Brenda Wick, I'm the dean of the graduate school.
Right.
Council.
End of the table. All right, and with that, I believe that's everyone today. And so next up on the agenda is the approval of the minutes, which apparently is out of order. So approval of the minutes. And so we have 2 minutes to go through today, the October 18th, 2010, as well as the November 15th, 2010. And if you have a chance to look it over, have any suggestions for it, the majority of suggestions will be taken as friendly. So please provide them and I'll record them and we'll update and post them later this week. So let's consider the October 18th, 2010. Anyone? Any suggestions? Yes.
Motion to approve.
We have a motion to approve on the floor with a second. So now we will just say, does anyone oppose the motion to approve? Please raise your placard at this time.
Opposed.
Oh, okay. With that, the motion passes. So the October 18th, 2010 minutes have passed, and we will enter those into records. And now on to the November 15th, 2010. Are there any recommendations for friendly amendments at this time? Do I have a motion to approve the minutes as they are?
So moved.
All right, moved by Nicole, and so do I have a second?
Second
by Chris. Sorry, he just beat you, Bobby. And so at this time, if there's any opposition, please raise your placard. Seeing none, the motion's approved. So we have approved both the minutes of the October 18th and the November 15th, 2010 meeting. Yeah, we're done. All right, see you guys. All right, so now we're moving on to the business of the day. The first item up is one that was presented last semester, and this is the addition of the environmental impact statements for byline funding processes, or R3, and just getting it here. And I just want to make one quick count. So this is a change to the byline funding application, and so due to the fact that it has the same stringency of approval of the charter, it had to be presented at one meeting and then voted on at the next meeting, and has passed by 2/3 of the seated voting membership. And I just want to make sure that the quorum today meets that requirement. So 1 second. Yes, it does. Because we have 14 members. Oh, and these are pretty fast. All right, we got plenty. We're fine. Right? All right, and with that, I would like to open the floor to have a re-presentation by any of the authors of the current resolution that would like to address the body in favor of passing the resolution, and any friendly amendments that have been accepted since the previous presentation. Mike, are you going to speak? All right, Mike, you have the floor.
So, under a lot of fanfare, I just started my class in American Sustainable Society today, and this is a great opportunity. You're all welcome to take this, well, as well as most of the class. All online, easy for your credit, and I'm a PA, so you know you're wrong. So, sustainability is one of my favorite words, and it really actually is the word that reminds me of the old VH1 show, Awesomely Bad. I think it's a badly awesome word, because there's so many issues and baggage that's associated with it. You know, basically it was defined back in the 80s by a group appointed by the UN to be defined as maintaining the needs of the current generation while preserving the needs of future generations. And in that sense, and looking over what the GPSA has done for this industry, I'd like to contend that the GPSA is a body that's all about sustainability. It's promoting the needs of the graduate professional students here at Cornell, their current needs, as well as the needs of future graduate professional students. And I teach my students that sustainability is not just the environment. It's three different issues: economic, social, and environmental. And for the past 14, 15, 16 years, since 1994, the GPSA has been focused on sustainability in two markets, primarily, especially through the activities, trying to maintain the needs of the graduate student population in terms of the activities that the GPSA sponsors, the economic and social needs of school, basically balancing the cost that we put on ourselves each year, each semester, $35 or so, to pay for events, programs that will sustain us socially. So, with everybody now moving into the whole 21st century, this definition of sustainability has now broadened to include environmental. And this is one thing that I'm very passionate about. And I think that this is a good opportunity to kind of integrate properly and appropriately environmental aspects into the sustainability of the graduate and professional student activities. And what this does is a one-sentence change, one that allows, that encourages, that requires the environmental professional organizations to submit a very brief paragraph, page at the most, statement saying what their environmental impact is, who to react, and how and the steps that they take to mitigate negative. So this statement, even though it's one sentence, it still is opportunity because we find, I think, about 14 student groups. The undergraduates are looking at the same resolution. They fund down for it. And this will get these groups to start really thinking about, to start really to promote within their own ranks to grassroots level sustainability. It requires them to include in their application the voluntary statement of how they affect the environment, in addition to how they affect our lives and how they affect our world. So, you know, I think this does a very good job at integrating the principles of sustainability that have been established globally over the past 20 years into the activities. And I think it does it in an appropriate way. It's not too much. It's not too little. It strikes a good balance that preserves freedom for these groups to basically do what they want to develop an application that says, hey, we're being sustainable. We should be rewarded for this. For the sake of, we need some help here. We need a little bit extra more money so we can be more sustainable. This one sentence change does all that. It does not require a new committee. It does not require a new oversight structure. It does not require any complicated bureaucracy. It's the right move.
So at this time, would there be anybody who would like to formally speak against Resolution 3 regarding environmental impact of byline-funded organizations? Pardon? Oh, if there's no one who would speak against, we'll just open up the opening floor. Being done, we'll move into the open debate. At this time, if there's any questions, comments, or concerns about it that would like to be raised, please raise your hand and I'll keep a tally of who raised your hand. So Billy is... All right, everybody put their hands down. Billy's first, and now put your hands up. We'll do it. Okay. So Billy, you have the first question. Yes, keep them up if you'd like.
So this resolution, I'm currently chair of the Sustainability Committee of the GSA. We have about six regular members of this plan. This is something that was discussed a lot, especially at the meeting of last semester. I know this resolution is something that we put forward ourselves a lot. And the general feeling among the members of our community is that this may be a good thing, but it really doesn't serve very much power.
Finance Commission, but I think it'd be more appropriate answered by the Appropriations.
No,
you guys said no, that's fine. So would a member of the Appropriations like to briefly answer the question?
Since this issue was raised last week, can I, as a sponsor of the resolution, answer?
Sure.
Okay. So Stephen and Kyle talked to me after the meeting last time, as did you, about this concern about is it to honor its procedure. So in response to that concern, we did two things. One was we changed the resolution so that as it reads now, it's a portion of the group portrait, not a standalone document. So that was intended to de-emphasize it as a strong funding requirement. So it's something the intent is to get the group to think about sustainability and to act without being the Appropriations Committee is not necessarily experts in evaluating environmental impact statements. The intent is to begin, as you said, begin the process of thinking about sustainability. So we made a change to the resolution in response to that concern. The other thing we did, as Stephen and Kyle asked me to do, was to approach some bylaw-funded groups. So I emailed Brenda Wicks, who's here, and hopefully you don't mind me receiving your email throughout the speech if you'd like. And Chris Korda, who's manager of the bar, in response, I emailed the text of the resolution and asked if they thought that it would be a new burden. Brenda's response was, to be brief and to the point, I support the idea of including a statement in violence funding boards as part of the group portrait. In my estimation, it does not significantly deter or complicate the application process and would at least provoke thought and discussion within funded groups. Chris Korda of the bar responded, I concur with Brenda. I think this would be a great way to emphasize the importance of being environmentally conscious without making a major issue.
It will raise this awareness. So the bylaw funded groups that I contacted support this resolution. Quick and dirty, it's a good starting point. I think your idea of a green key is a great next step after this.
Next up on the list of questions is Chris Peckman.
Actually, it was a move to the day. The resolution, since I last read it, my name is in this bill.
Really?
So,
do the authors take that as a friendly amendment?
Yes.
Okay. You're by the author. All right, that will be corrected in the final draft that is sent out. The next question is Chris Fleck.
Oh, Mike and Guy, thank you for
One question I had was the first step in was I'm raising awareness, and I think that that's a key first step. What is the status of the essays? I know there's talk in the blog about whether curriculum should be on similar par with the essay and what we're doing. What's the status of their resolution 534?
642.
R45. What's the status of their resolution that was supposed to end hours and then it's going to be on the altar?
So, just to catch a lot of people up to speed, I was completely wrong on that. I worked with a member of the SA in developing the original version of Best Resolution, and then their environmental committee came out with this incredibly bureaucratic and authoritarian solution or alternative, basically recommending that the environmental issues committee of the SA have the power to investigate and recommend investigate groups that are found not to be in compliance of what they say, and recommend to the SA that these groups be defunded and de-recognized, which frankly, as a student who studied the 60s in high school, I am completely appalled at, because it steps up during the speech issues right there. They have, I've talked to several members of the ESA. Things are kind of in motion right now. There are two versions, this and that other one I mentioned. I do not think that there is considerable support after talking to some senior leadership members of the ESA for the alternate one. I think there is support for this one as it is at the same time now. And just a final note, there's actually a clause in the ESA's charter requiring the ESA to work with us if changes to the byline funding guidelines happen. And I think this is something that's essential to keep in mind as we look at this resolution and try and move it forward. So we should try to be consistent with what the groups end up submitting the same application to us if it was consistent in the same format. I mean, there might be times where the graduate professional community, grad GPSA might require more or something different of these groups, but I think on this issue, since our goals are consistent, our actual guidelines should be consistent.
All right, and with that, we'll move on to Brian.
So I'm going to appropriations and the funds accepted my idea of moving into the program. The only thing I wanted to add was everything about that was correct, but the other reason why I suggested this was in writing such a statement, you're in another way describing your group, and hence I thought that because you're describing the group, it should go into the section that's describing the group. That was an additional reason why the idea to put it into the current section was suggested.
Moving on, Tom?
Yeah, back to Chris's point, I just want to maybe think out one example of a group that is jointly byline funded through us and the SA and just see how it might play out. So let's just take Slopeday, because we know this is one of them that's going to have an issue. We get an application from Slopeday, and they say, our environmental impact is negative. We recycle all the water bottles we throw on live slopes. We don't create a mess because Cornell cleans up after us, something like that. I mean, you think about it, like, some of the groups we actually fundate are pretty impactful, and I'm just wondering if this is meant to actually change behaviors in a sense, or simply raise awareness. And I don't like the idea of having an application that looks one way for one group, rather, one assembly and another for that assembly. So, you know, I understand the SA is hard to, like, lock down on things, but it just seems to me that if we get an application without this statement, because the SA doesn't require it, what are we going to say? Like, oh, you haven't completed our application fully because we require something the SA doesn't? Just some thoughts or someone suggested.
I think that's very well said. I mean, I think there's definitely motion in the SA to go forward with it. The question is, will they do it? The SA is something, and you need to just compare them. They're kind of like California. If they move, so do all these other groups. If we move, only about 10 to 15 of them, you know, would be required to move.
We're like Delaware.
Yeah.
Rhode Island.
that sort of mechanism. I think the way that Brian has kind of set things out, he's done it in a way that, you know, groups could submit it towards us, and if we approve it, then it'd be fine. And they could submit the entire same thing to the SA, and it could just be brownie points. So, in many respects, this is a brownie point, you know, resolution. It allows students to, allow these groups to kind of say, hey, this is what we're doing good. Kind of highlight that and say, you know, we want to be recognized for this. We want a little bit extra funding because we're doing this, you know, this stuff that's good for the environment as well. And we think we deserve that. And I think that, you know, that hopefully answers your concern, you know, what is the exact purpose of this? You know, it is designed to get them to think about it. It is designed to justify environmental expenses. And it is designed to really spur a system of self-reporting in these organizations. And I think that should be addressed.
Evan with the final question.
Just a couple of small points. One, Mikey gave a wonderful speech on sustainability, but I noticed that the point six environmental impact doesn't actually use the word sustainability. I don't know if that's on purpose. It only says environmental impact. I mean, given the broader notion of sustainability that you articulate, if I may, two other very quick things. One is that the second whereas mentions that we distribute the fee to over 600 student organizations. Of course, that's true, but that's what we were talking about before. That's FC money. And of course, this passage only applies to Byline funded groups, which is much smaller than 600. My final one, and I think this may have been answered already, is the feeling from the sponsors of the resolution about the move into the group portrait. I get the sense that you're all in favor of that. I'm certainly very much in favor of that. Got my vote.
Yes, we've all accepted that.
Wonderful.
Going back with it, you know, but the original setup was just to kind of do the tripartite economic, environmental, and social. And that's why, you know, we don't have to follow those things. So we don't. And I think Brian's suggestion was a good suggestion. And, but we do, I think, to address your first point. I mean, this is, you know, we do address social impact of sustainability. I mean, this violence on the process already. I mean, this is to keep us happy. And I think that's the same. Sustainability is a loaded word. I mean, it just has so many different meanings, overused so many times. It's a great word, but it's also a pretty loaded word as well. And I wanted to avoid that because we can open so many different interpretations.
Sorry, not the, I don't know, Chris was going to, about the 600 groups.
Oh,
I wonder if maybe better language, just to avoid, I don't know, confusing anybody, might be whereas we currently fund 14 Byline funded organizations or something.
Well, the GPSAFC is a Byline funded organization and they further distribute
right.
that money to the 600 or so.
The FC doesn't have to apply to us for funds, does it?
It
they don't have to fill out a group
portrait. It's an application, yes.
Well, I mean, even if they, well, you see what I'm saying. That, even if they do have a statement, it's not binding on the groups that they fund, which is, I mean, that's a whole different issue.
Are you offering an amendment to the current resolution?
We'll take it.
Okay, so, the amendment, you have to take the amendment on the floor.
In order to address this concern, how about I suggest a friendly amendment that we ifnay that entire whereas clause, just drop the whereas.
Just to clarify
procedure.
You'll take that as friendly.
Just to choose.
I think.
Okay.
Just the last five words.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I suggest.
Okay.
Yeah.
All
right.
Another friendly amendment that was pointed out is in the last whereas clause, it should be used, not used.
I think another friendly amendment to that is 1, 2, 3, 4, fourth whereas climate action plan is currently aimed to reduce institution to the apostrophe.
Yep, that's friendly.
And then just one more, the next one. If I believe correctly, Cornell has already become recognized. We could also say Cornell has already recognized.
That's my T, right?
You don't like the past?
Has already become a little awkward.
Yep, we'll take it friendly. Yep.
We're very confident.
We have time for about one or two more quick questions.
I'll make it quick. So in a follow-up, do we see future movement in the near or distant future on either ideas that you focus on the blog and others discuss abilities and sustainability and that kind of activity? additional funding for certain issues that build upon it. So I think it's important to recognize that the student activity fee is student activity. It's on student activity fees. And this kind of came out of a discussion that was had a couple years ago to basically implement the purchase of offsets. And it turned out that we really couldn't do that. We couldn't buy environmental offsets for the university using a student activity. And so this is kind of where we started to think and say, okay, how can we use our money in a proactive way to kind of invest in the stuff that students have interest in. And that was specifically through the activity and the student organizations that we as student leaders operate. I don't necessarily see a need for a separate mechanism to allocate some sort of sustainability fund. I think the GPSA activity fee is already a very open and flexible mechanism for allocating that. I think there are certainly opportunities to expand on this and to expand, you know, ways of incentivizing this to behave well. But to create a whole separate fee system when we have this and when groups can say, this is what we're doing, we need to buy some flexible cups, please fund us. That is, they can do that under the system already. Cornell Concert Commission can say, we want to have a carbon neutral concert. We can, you know, so they write that offset into their budget. They submit that budget to the GPSA or the SA and say, this is what we want to do. The SA and the appropriations can say, yeah, okay, that's a great idea. That's a great use of this one phrase to promote sustainability. So I'm not necessarily sure how a second mechanism is going to help or add to a completely new one. But I do see the opportunity for incentivization. That's not clear to me, but I think there is some help.
I just add to that, to go back to the college example of SLOPE, since the byline funding applications are open, if SLOPE says that we're green because we recycle our water bottles, any sustainability group like Green Resources Hub or the sustainability committee in the GPSA could read that and say, you know, you guys use a lot of electricity as well, and that's a significant environmental impact. If you'd like to partner with us, we can work together to figure out how to be even greener. And then we can include that the next byline funding cycle. And so just making this information public provides one way that might be. But this resolution doesn't go into those mechanisms, you know. So that kind of would be open for future support systems.
Due to time considerations, if the body is comfortable with voting on this, the chair would entertain a motion to close debate and vote on the resolution at hand.
So moved.
All right, moved by Evan. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Stephen. All right, so the vote is on the floor. So anyone who's in favor of Resolution 3 regarding the environmental impact of byline funded organizations, please raise your flags at this time. Thirteen in favor. Any of those who are opposed, please raise your placards at this time. Anyone in absentia, please raise your placards at this time. Two. Two abstaining. So with a vote of 13-0 to 2, the motion passes. The resolution. Moving on in the agenda, we have Resolution 4, which is a resolution opposing the proposed changes to the Cornell Council for the Arts. And so this was authored by Evan, and he has the floor to present.
Hello. First, the one thing I wanted to say right off the bat, I should back up, I should say what this is about. But before I talk about what motivated this resolution and all of that, let me just say that several people have approached me, and in fact, I had actually, you know, the thought had gone through my head before anybody had even mentioned it, that the
that the second resolve clause really ought to tone it down a little bit, because we, of course, don't have any authority over the provost's office. Obviously, I realize that. and this isn't an amendment or anything. It's my resolution, so I guess I can just change it. It now reads that the provost's office consider reinstating individual grants as a constituent component of the CCA, which was, I should be very clear, all I had ever hoped for to begin with. I mean, obviously, we can't tell the provost's office to do anything. So to back up for a second, what's the point of this resolution? So the Cornell Council for the Arts was funded in 1965 to be a university-wide support system for the arts on campus. Of course, we have in our school very many departments, like music, of course, things like English or art or theater, film, and dance, or you name it, or arts sorts of departments that do arts as an activity, and of course that funding internally. But the idea with the CCA is that we can all come together, that we can recognize the importance of arts in education for graduate students, for undergraduate students, for faculty, and to provide a sort of visibility for Cornell nationally, locally, as a hub for the arts, as someone who supports and recognizes the importance of the arts. So this, like I said, been around for a long time. However, in recent years, and I'm not really privy to the details, though I've read the committee report, people have basically decided that things aren't working as well as they could. The number one complaint is that there's a lot of administrative overhead to the CCA. The budget is somewhere in the neighborhood of $250,000 a year, is that right? That's right. Which is not enormous, but not insignificant. A good chunk of that budget goes to providing for a full-time staff member, actually I think 3/4-time staff member, and for offsetting the cost of the director. People have basically said, is there a way that we can make this more efficient? So a working group was formed last year. They met several times. They contained, I think, 9 faculty members, one from several of the member departments. They're sort of, like I say, taking for granted that arts on campus is important for everybody. There are nevertheless more artsy sorts of departments, and those are the sort of oversight departments in the running of the CCA. So they sat on a working group. And the working group compiled a report, which I've emailed out before, and hopefully some of you have had a chance to read. One of the things they proposed is that basically we take all of this funding and pool it together and perform, it's not a typo, in the whereas clause, a grand projet, a large arts project around which the entire university could come together. I think that's a wonderful idea. I think that's great. Where I think the recommendation of the working group goes wrong, and I should back up and say that it's not just a recommendation, the provost has said, I hereby endorse these recommendations. They will come into effect starting next year. So that's starting with 2011-2012 fiscal year. So they don't take effect this year. I think that's wonderful, but they eliminated the individual grants. And I will grant you that the individual grants do not make up an enormous portion of the budget. We're talking about a few thousand dollars here. But they provide the only opportunity for students not in arts-based departments to get funding for their sorts of work. If you're in electrical engineering and you want to do an arts project of some kind, are you going to apply to your department? Not likely. This gives you a central place for which you can apply. I mean, if you're in music, sure, you can apply to the music department and put on a musical event. But this is a campus-wide sort of thing, and the only institution of its kind. Anyway, I should say that I would suggest that we not actually vote on passage today. The reason for that is that the resolution, without having even been passed, is already having the desired effect. The provost has asked the dean to start having some meetings to get the discussion going, to realize that there is some opposition to these sorts of changes. And the Dean Kent Kleinman has invited me and other people, of course, to a meeting this Thursday. So I think we should wait and see what the dean has said. If there's already a consideration to do this sort of thing, anyway. Thank you.
With that, we can open it up to discussion at this period in time. If there's any questions or comments, please raise your placards and I'll keep track. So Ben.
And then it sounds like one of the key concerns is the loss of the individual grant. Are there any other efforts, or is there something that UPSA could do to try and come up with some other form of individual grant so that it's not refighting this decision of the CPA that's been made, but rather, if that's not the vehicle, maybe ask the provost to examine other individual grant funding for campus-wide art initiative?
That sounds like a good idea to me. Part of the advantage, I should have said this before, it's not just that it makes available funding. That I think is something the working group missed in their report. They said these grants aren't very much money, and individually they tend to be very small. I would argue that that's not the point. I mean, sure, money is good, and it costs money to put on an arts event, but it also provides validation for what you're doing. A university body is saying, yes, we support your work. That, I would say, is almost as important as financial support. And it also provides an opportunity, because we are, of course, an educational institution, to go through the process of doing grants. And the proposed alternative was basically that you would go to your department. Well, if I meet with my chair, who knows me, who knows who I am, and says, well, I trust Evan. He's proven himself fiscally responsible. I'll just give him $1,000. I mean, I still get the money, I still get the recognition, but I don't get that experience doing grant writing. And as a graduate student, you can't very well write a grant proposal to the NEA or the NEH. They don't do $500 grants. They do $100,000 grants. This is basically the only opportunity. So the GPSA could fund things. Do we have the apparatus to do this sort of approval process? I don't think so. Could we set one up? Sure, but we'd be duplicating functionality that exists in the CCA right now.
Do we have the next question?
I'm not sure if this information is not one of your previous emails, but do you have any idea of what is behind the current grant program, like how many individual grants are given out into your program as well as the grant, like why they feel justified in eliminating individual grants?
That's in the report that I think I sent out. If not, I can get that information for you. Like I say, I should be very clear, we're not talking about thousands of people. We're not talking about millions of dollars. We're talking about a handful of grants, under 100 per year, often for smaller amounts, $500, $1,000, maybe $2,000. And the money is important, don't get me wrong, but I think there are other reasons that this grant program should be continued. I will all get that information.
Nicole?
When you were speaking, it just reminded me of, so my undergrad institution, University of Chicago, a good friend of mine received a grant similar to this from the university, from, I don't remember what exactly the body was, but he was a physics major, and what he did was he created a proposal to create bioluminescent balloon art that ended up being put in the biology building. These were like literally sculptures made out of sticky balloons with LED lights all over them that looked like bioluminescent creatures. And he received a grant from the university. We did like three of these sculptures over the course of the year. And I mean, it was probably one of the coolest art displays ever. He also ended up doing like a fashion show with balloon dresses. And I just think that, I mean, this is the sort of stuff that a fund like this could support. And I just thought that was really important just to kind of throw it out there.
I agree 100%. This is something that comes up in all of our discussions. You know, yes, you're an electrical engineer, you're in chemical and biology, or, you know, you're in music, you're in whatever, but you're not just that. You know, you're a whole person, and part of that person, I would argue, of course I would argue, I've got my biases, part of that person is the arts. And that's a great example.
I really like where this is going. I think that it's a good idea to talk to provost if there's concerns with the student body. And I just don't really I've never done a sense of body resolution before. And like you said before, we don't have jurisdiction to tell provost what to do. So that sense, when I read resolve that Kent Fox hold a public meeting, et cetera, I mean, I don't know whether we should try rewording that to say something like that the GPSA strongly urge, or, you know, yeah, something like this.
I should say that's the same as the second resolve.
Yeah.
My thought in writing this was that was sort of implicit. I recognize that it can come across as we are telling the provost to do something that was not at all my intention.
Yeah, I understand. And like I said, I have no experience writing like computers.
Yeah.
So
it sounds like you're open to friends. Like, there's general agreement you're open to something friendly.
I suggest we don't vote on this today. I'll revise the language so that works. And, you know, there may be some changes coming with this meeting with the dean and all of that. Anyhow, my goal was basically that I think I've seen this a lot this semester with all sorts of things, with the Africana Center, with the closing of the greenhouse near the med school, all of that sort of thing. When you present something to the Cornell community as a fait accompli, nine people met in a room for 6 months and they decided this is what's best, here I sign off, it tends to rub people the wrong way. In some sense, it's about the outcome. Yes, individual grants are important, but it's also about saying it's important to engage the community. You know, grad students, undergrads, faculty, even staff are interested in this sort of thing, interested in arts on campus. And, you know, I know people who are on this committee, but nine faculty members don't necessarily speak for everybody.
Due to time considerations, the chair would entertain a motion to close debate and table the resolution to a further date for voting on it. So moved by Billy, is there a second? Second by Chris Hexton. And at this time, if there's any opposed to the motion, please raise your placard now. Seeing none opposed, the motion passes. So the resolution itself will be tabled, but the discussion will be ongoing. So if you have any suggestions for any friendly amendments or amendments in general, please send them to Evan. I believe he'll be happy to discuss them with you. So moving on into the agenda, we have to approach the issue of electing a new student advocacy chair. Grant this semester had the opportunity to take a study/internship position in Washington, D.C., so she had to vacate both her voting membership and as well as the student advocacy chair for this semester. And according to the charter, either a voting member or a non-voting member can be elected to the position of the student advocacy chair. So at this time, if there's anyone here who feels that they would like to nominate someone or would like to nominate themselves for this position to take over Garanta's work, feel free to nominate yourself now and the chair will record. Chris?
I'd like to nominate Ben Hetmer.
I appreciate the nomination, but we'll decline.
Well, you'll always be my advocate.
Yes,
I would.
Brian?
I'd like to nominate me. I'd actually wanted to nominate,
Shit,
I can't remember your name.
Is that in a minute?
And this is a chair reminder to keep the language. No, not
going up on the offset.
I like the voter censure.
All right, so you accept or decline the nomination? First, you accept or decline the nomination?
Decline.
Okay, and now?
Okay, I would like to nominate
Marquis. Okay. Lisa?
All right, good.
We have three, is that right?
Currently we have only one who accepted.
Okay,
three. Three nominations. Mm-hmm. Are there any other nominations at this time?
You can self-nominate.
You can self-nominate, yes. All right, being done, I'm going to close nominations. And due to the fact that we only have one nominee who accepted, he will be the student advocacy chair, but I would like to have him address the body and discuss. So offhand, Garant suggested that he would take over because he's been a very highly involved member on the student advocacy committee this year. And so just to address the body and discuss what you'll be doing with the committee in this upcoming year. And go ahead.
Again, my name is Marquis Hawkins. I'm the CEPA rep. First-year CEPA student, and I've gotten a chance to really examine some of the issues that are going on with graduate students at Cornell through the student advocacy committee, being pretty much right hand with Durant over the last few months. It's really showed me a lot of the things that we need to go, we need to move forward and change around here. And one of the things that I want to specifically address are some of the issues of technology around campus. Graduate students that I've talked with who live in on-campus housing were pleasantly surprised, I guess, that there was no wireless internet in many of the graduate student housing. And to our peer institutions, that's just unheard of. And that's something I think we need to start moving forward on. And also continuing some of the things that go on started herself. I think that many of the ideas with regard to diversity are crucial as we move forward as well. So I look forward to working with each one of you and for the nomination meet. Thanks, everybody.
All right, with that, let's see. This is an opportunity. Do you have any questions or comments for the DC chair? Asha?
I was just curious how you were planning to go forward with Durant's, I guess, proposal to have a multicultural liaison for the DC chair.
That's something that we've also been talked about as well. And my position is evolving, and I've not actually come to a conclusion of what my belief is. But I think that diversity and multicultural issues are something that this body needs to be concerned with, and that we need to move forward on some of the things that she's suggesting as well.
Any other questions or comments? All right, seeing none, we'll move on in the agenda, and we're going into open forum. So, wow. Looks very interesting. So this is the problem that you have when you switch from Microsoft Word to Open Office, things like this. Anyways, we're going into the executive updates portion, and from the presidential standpoint, I actually do not have any updates except for the standard ones. Always look at CornellGPSA.com. If you're a voting member and officer, please update a profile on there. There's pictures of some of us. I think I showed that earlier. But moving on, there will be an update by Brian on the Ad Hoc Mental Health Committee.
So we're meeting next Monday, 5:30 to 6:30, and 3:25 Caldwell. The two issues we're working on now is Les Wally essay and the mental health resolution, and then gave it to me for the GPSA to approve. And when the Mental Health Committee reviewed the essay's resolution, they felt it wasn't as applicable to graduate students. So the committee has been reworking that resolution. So the draft has been sent to the Executive Committee, so hopefully at an upcoming GPSA meeting, we can pass the GPSA's version on mental health in the classroom. The second one is, the resolution, a mental health resolution that passed last year called for the making of a proactive mental health website, which would be housed with Brenda, which is a graduate student life website. So we're going to start working on that as well, since that site is going to be updated this semester. March launch, so March will be done before March then. Okay, excellent.
All right.
Thank you. So there was a suggestion, I think it was by Mike, to have some sort of GPSA members handbook. This is for if you're a voting member, if you're a non-voting member, or just a graduate student who is interested in getting involved with the GPSA. So this handbook accommodates all of those. The list of topics are listed on the slide. The ones in yellow are the ones I have a draft of. Duties of the GPSA, I can't write that yet because I don't know what the charter is going to be. So I'm not going to write it. It's going to be a charter change and as well as general timeline. So basically it just gives an outline of the GPSA, what members' rights and responsibilities are, the committee system, which I has discussed numerous times, the big question of how the funding works, given Preston's mini poll that he gave at a non-voting members meeting back in October, So that explains how the activity fee is decided and how that money is used, as well as how the FC operates. Brief background is on how to bring business before the GPSA, either through a motion or a resolution, and any important forms, which right now we've only had the committee form. I don't know what else is going in. So, once I have a complete draft, then it'll go out to the current members, and I'll welcome your feedback.
Any questions or comments for Brian? Tom?
Do you have some sort of timeline at this point for a draft for distribution to the members?
After the charter review.
Okay.
So I would think probably at the end of the semester, at the end of the GPSA term, that way something is ready that could be given to the new voting members and would be definitely available by August for incoming graduate professional students as well as new non-voting members.
Seeing no other questions or comments, we'll move on. Jen, do you have an update from the Communications Committee or the Executive Vice President?
I'm together with the Board of Commissioners from the National Library, the GPSA, and the National Council. Probably not that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I suppose I will. We have these aluminum bottles, or I guess it's also beer opener. Let's be honest with ourselves. And then, so they also say CornellGPSA.com on them, and they're in red, the only color red you could get, so don't be honest, it's not the right Cornell red. And then we have these stickers, which are the common popular style that you see around town among college kids these days. CornellGPSA.com, obviously we're trying to, you know, we have a theme going on, we're trying to get a message out to go to our website.
Next year we can get off my lawn.
Even better. So we have a lot of these things, and unlike other promotional items that are stagnating in Amy's office right now, we would like to get rid of these. And so please take as many as you think you can distribute to your departmental offices, put in common areas, take home, and to your children, grandchildren, whatever's necessary. Put on your cards. Don't put them on Cornell property, the stickers, I mean, because obviously you'll know where to go. So anyway, I hope you enjoy them. We hope you do with the Communications Committee. And thank you for letting us do this. They're right there. Very simple distribution mechanism.
Are there any other comments? All right, seeing done, we'll move on. Tom and Vice President.
This one's about the Academic Integrity Committee opening. There's still, let's just say there's been a failure to fill this position for several months. So I would really like someone to take on what is really more or less a very little time commitment from biology, because I get a lot of emails asking where this person is and they don't exist. Anyone here from biology? Anyone?
Mike Walsh.
Okay. I know, exactly. I mean, I know it's our two of our more involved people. So, if you could just maybe think about some other folks who are involved. Unless you want to.
I'll do it.
Thank you.
A round of applause here. Thank you, Nidar. Welcome to the committee.
All right. Here's the deal. Well, so I changed this meeting since the last meeting, and what's highlighted in bold is the next meeting of the Charter Review Committee, which is going to take place a week from today in this space, the same time frame we normally meet as a body. It's the only meeting time that I thought was the only time we could get before the next meeting of the overall body, which is February 7th. So it's going to be, for those of you involved, I'm sorry, three meetings in a row, but all chairs are required to attend or their designee of student advocacy. I'll just point out that includes you now. Okay. At this meeting, here's what's going to happen. We're going to have all the suggestions and comments compiled into a document. So I just want to read off the things that we're actually addressing in this charter review. and the people who are addressing it as a reminder to them if they're here. But one of the big things we're going to address in the charter review is the change to voting membership and the format of meetings. And this is probably the number one or two big issue of the whole thing. I asked Chris Clark and Steve Ahn to work on that. They've both done so. I've received comments from them. And when I get their comments, I now review them, process it, and try to do the language work, getting it into the charter so that we can all read it. That's ongoing, because I have a lot of things coming in, but thank you for handing that in already. There's also, on that same piece, some sort of expansion to the voting membership. So those two guys have also done their piece there. Thank you. We had an issue on defining membership to include the Ithaca and Geneva campuses, and Brian Borster has taken on that issue for us and made a suggestion as part of his, a number of his suggestions to the charter, which I received. Thank you. There was also the question of absence policies for members and proxy voting. That was to be a question to be considered in this charter review, since it's come up at several occasions. And I'm correct if I'm wrong, but I did receive, I think, something from Brian, but nothing from Kyle. So I don't know if you work together. Okay, it was together. All right, thank you then for Kyle and Brian. All right. The second, probably number one or number two issue, however you want to look at it, certainly took up most of my time, was how to represent students who are identified as minority on this campus. Garant had worked on that through December, and fortunately we've had Marquise involved since the beginning, so it's a very smooth transition. We did propose a bunch of changes, and that language has only been seen by the group that actually sat down on a Saturday at Laura Rose House. That was Marquise, myself, Garant, and Steve. And the wider body has not seen it, and you're not going to. Sorry. Until later. We have talked about it at meetings, but the point of the committee meetings is to do committee business. I'll take questions if you have specific ones after them. Okay. We also wanted to get money for Superfield summits, which have been a popular, wildly so, item this year, and I'm working on that. We wanted to have the new subcommittee, student advocacy, the mental health subcommittee, and Brian has provided language for that. Thank you. We wanted to redefine the role of the executive vice president to be more in line with now our peer counterpart in the university assembly. I think employee assembly. And that is something I have worked on and I have some ideas with, but it's not final. It won't be until next Monday.
I thought I
Oh, that's what I say.
But I have it and I also need it.
Okay, Nicole and I then. How about that? Okay.
I mean, I EA.
Good. Okay, same is for the Sustainability Committee, so Nicole was out working on that too. And we had an issue on the timing of elections of officers right now. Well, I don't even talk about it right now. And I think Chris had worked on that. I got that from you. Did I?
Sure.
Okay, I think I know. I think I'll check that one. And then there's also the timing and the process to review the GPSA charter, which Kyle's going to work on. So, again, thanks to all those people who've worked on it over the break. They have been working in some capacity since now October on this, so it's been a long fall. We're not done yet. As I said, by the January 31st meeting, we'll have a draft document. And that document will be sent out electronically before the meeting to all the people who are A, required to attend the meeting, and B, in the past who have attended the meeting. And then there will be paper copies at the meeting. What I don't want to do just yet is put it on the blog until that body has put its stamp on it. So I consider it still an internal document until after the 31st of January. But after the 31st, it will then be reviewed publicly. And the goal is that not only everyone here would review it, but that it could be reviewed as part of that either the February 7th or the March discussion meeting. So that the discussion, all the people in the discussion body would have a chance to hear about the changes, even if, and I don't expect them to read them, because it will be a lot of work for someone to sit through and read everything. But that's why I think we need to spend time on the next agenda, discussion meeting agenda, talking about these changes. So that's a suggestion for my own executive board. The executive board there. Okay. And then the rest of the timeline hasn't changed. The first resolution, too, that it has to be circulated on the February 21st business meeting because it needs to be circulated and then voted on at the next business meeting. So that's why I'm pushing this so hard. There will be the March 7th meeting to discuss it further if for some reason we can't get it to at the February 7th meeting. And then March 14th. That's the big vote. That's for all of you with the placards. We'll vote on it. And just like the change we did today, it's going to require a two-thirds vote. So part of my transparency here and all this and belaboring is that I want every single person to be comfortable with every change. And if you're not, you have to decide if you want to go the route of amending it on the floor. Good luck with that. Or just vote against it. But we're going to, I would like to see a new charter pass. This is, I'm saying this again and again. I want to see a new charter pass. But as I said in another meeting, if we can't get a good, like at least two-thirds, I want as unanimous as possible, then we should, you know, then that's why we have the rules in place. We're not going to pass a new charter. So I'm just saying that again, that's the rules. We need two-thirds of the people. And, you know, especially with green placards, as you get closer, just talk to me if you have any questions, because it's going to be really, like, you know, a long debate. And the more you can learn from me in advance, the more I can help you understand the issues. I'm trying to, like, just be neutral about all this here. And then, again, we're doing this so that by April, we'll have a chance to actually vote in a way that reflects the new charter. I don't know what that is yet, neither do you, but just to say we want to have that month of April to enact the new charter in a way that's meaningful. Okay, that's what I wanted to say. Now, I guess I have time, I'll take questions.
Yep, any questions? Evan?
Two very quick things. One is that, it's just to clarify, it's a sort of omnibus resolution, all the changes at once, up or down votes?
That's how it's currently considered, in my mind. That's the current consideration. I do want to be able, I want to be open to hearing other ways of doing it, but as of now, it's the way I know how to do it.
Well, I guess the alternative is what you say, the idea of offering amendments. You know, say I don't like one particular change, I can offer an amendment to strike that, then we would vote on that amendment independently, and if the body wants it struck, then it's struck. So effectively, we do have the ability to do sort of line item vote.
I just say we have 13, at least 13 big things on here. So, you know, yeah, that's a bit, you know, chair's got to control that in the meeting. That's going to be a lot of work. You're going to try to line item everything if everyone's going to do that. So I'd much rather try to get it done before that if we can, you know.
Well, the other,
yeah.
I was going to say, the other quick thing is the president has to approve our changes, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So there is a chance, I don't know how likely it is, that we may pass a charter and the president could say, I'm not comfortable with it.
Yeah, Office of Assembly's staff is meant to help us in that regard. If they're going to look at this before we vote on it, and especially Ari has offered to do that for us, and I can only rely on his guidance if he says something's not good enough of muster. Because the president's going to ask the Office of Assembly for their opinion.
Right. But he... I don't want to monopolize anything, but the UA is, of course, undergoing a big charter revision. It went to Legislative Council for comments, and it came back, and the only real big thing was issues where the UA said they have authority over something or other. Of course, our charter doesn't say that. You know, I mean, we have authority over the activity fee, and nobody's changing that, but we can't tell the president to do anything. So I would think it's probably less likely to veto changes that affect only our internal operations.
Any other questions? Ben.
I have a question about the committee meeting. Is it useful for you to have input from people who aren't on the operations of the traffic committee at these meetings, or are you running it in such a way that you're doing internal committee business? Basically, should I come and express my concerns? Which you've heard
you should before? Work, if possible, you should work if you're on a committee through your representative. That's the best way to do it. If you're not on a committee, then you should work to come to me.
So Evan did bring out an alternate way of drawing up
instead
of having one big resolution. Instead of having like 13 separate resolutions, we can have two resolutions. One for stuff that we believe is sort of uncontroversial, and you know everyone kind of agrees there are good things to do. And then another resolution with the more controversial stuff that should probably warrant much more discussion than some other items. I think amongst us charter review committee members, we strongly believe that's a fairly good idea.
Any other questions or comments? Chris?
Tom, great job with everything in terms of the position. Following up with Steve, one idea we can also talk about
I mentioned in the email, if with the remaining discussion, especially discussion with the community, that may pick an issue or two each time, and really particularly controversial, but the merit discussion on another is maybe focusing on those. You mentioned 13 big ones, and probably don't have time to get each one candidate on meetings to be here until May. But a couple there that I think might possibly
any other questions or comments? Seeing none, we'll move on to the agenda. All right. So up first, for the committee chair reports, we have the events committee, and Nicole will discuss that.
Okay, yeah, so I think I'm supposed to give an update. I kind of thought this might be a discussion meeting, but I haven't been certain things. So our first event of the semester is going to be the ice skating event at Winery. Basically, very similar to what we did last year. We're going to have hot cocoa this time, but it's 10 p.m. to 11:30 technically. But if you want skates, you better show up earlier or you won't get them. We also have our first dress night out at Bandwagon Brew Pub, which if you haven't been there, it's right off the comments on how you got the yellow on it to get upstairs. And it's really good. We're working on doing a ski day at Greek Peak, coordinating how to sell tickets and also chartering a bus that will basically go back and forth. So keep you posted on that if you need some more information. The grad ball date, as it's been for a while, is April 1st, so you can go ahead and mark your calendar. It'll be at Lewis Gray Hall again. So, we're also looking at doing potentially a cooking competition towards the end of the semester. Let me know if this is something you're particularly interested in, because it will require quite a bit of effort to put together, but I think it should be fun. More inter-school mixers, possibly a ropes course. We still want to do coffee with President Gordon and other events. If you have any other ideas, let me know. A lot of our time this semester we can do with scrap ball, but we'll see what else we can get done. So, yeah.
I just wanted to ask about that. Have you or has someone spoken with the president to see if he's interested, if he's available?
Yeah, we've already been pressing on that, and late in the semester he proposed like the Monday of finals or something as a possible date, and I think everyone was like, no, there's no point, and I can't together present that test.
You mean in December?
So we just need to see if we can schedule another date.
And he is scheduled to speak at the February 7th discussion meeting, so we probably can do it in coordination with that.
Okay. Figure out something.
Stephen?
Just a copy the just for GPSA, like phone number?
My expectation is that it would be an open event, like all of the
events. Just like a discussion meeting, it's open to everyone.
Yeah, I think everything that we do is open to
everyone. Any other questions or comments from Nicole? All right, moving on. We have the GBSA FC.
So I'd like to just give a quick recap of the Finance Commission's current status. Our available funds, as you see there, is currently at $52,000 in change, available funds left to be allocated out to student activities groups and organizations for the remainder of the year. Our last meeting was on December 7th, where we fielded 12 requests across special events, as well as annual budgeting. Funded about 63% of the 2% of the requested amount for $7,000, so $7,700 and change. Our next meeting to allocate is next Tuesday. The deadline for people to get their funding request in is this Friday, and we'll have two more of those meetings in March and April, and then the last three, which I've asked you next to them, are still kind of tentative dates for the annual budgeting process, which will open up. There'll be a workshop at the beginning of April with the deadline for submission at the end of April, and then a final review of those applications. That process is basically to fund the students' groups and organizations through the next academic year. So more information will be coming out as those get closer, and usually it's a quite intensive day of reviewing applications, over 200 applications, in fact. So it takes a lot of manpower and...
Or woman power.
Or woman power, yes, thank you. a lot of effort, and we really appreciate volunteers from across the organization, across the campus, from the community, so that we have a good representation of people that know what's going on in their communities or in their departments or fields, and can comment when questions arise about activities or groups.
Any questions or comments? Evan?
I wanted to just clarify that $52,000 remaining is for fiscal year 2011, right? And that it will also be allocated in those big annual funding days in April?
That's correct.
Okay.
Any other questions or comments? Seeing none, we'll move on to the Appropriations Committee. Are there any updates?
Yes. We have an update on the next meeting, which will be... Friday, February 4th at noon. And I'll be sending out an email to voting members to invite any questions. A lot of people will be discussing this week. Will be our formal meeting to discuss moving the FC guideline policy for the future as for our meeting. I'm happy to take the email questions and comments about that concept.
Any questions or comments for Kyle at this time? Seeing none, we'll move on. The Ad Hoc Sustainability Committee, are there any updates for you?
Yes, this is an update. Our next meeting is going to be next Wednesday, I believe. The official announcement for the sustainability poster contest for the barn here officially went up a couple days ago. It's on the NPSA blog website, and there will be emails and flyers going up fairly soon as well. So look out for that and forward it to your field from Canada.
Any questions or comments? Seeing none, we'll move on. I put you out of the spot early on. Any updates from the Student Advocacy Committee? Okay. Oh, yeah. And from the Ad Hoc Survey Committee, which is founded at the last discussion of business meeting. Are there any updates for you?
We're working to schedule our first meeting of this semester. Mike Aiken is actually chairing this committee, and I'll speak on behalf because it was my resolution that created it. We're putting together our first draft of questions. We'll be discussing that at our upcoming meeting sometime in the next 2 weeks. By the time we have to do another report, that's a month from now, lots of things will happen. We may have to draft questions by then.
Any questions or comments? Seeing none, we'll get an update from the student elected trustee, Derek Nighthawk.
So, for those of you, since there are some new faces, at least in the room tonight, the student trustee is the whole student body at Cornell elects two students, one undergraduate and one graduate, to sit on board of trustees, which is 64 individuals, most of them a lot older than I am, who are the charged with governing the policy, the overarching policies of the university, and electing the president of the university, things like that. And so at our most recent meeting down in New York City last week, we set tuition for next year to the university. Unfortunately, I left the numbers in my office in a rush to come here. The graduate school research degree tuition is going up 0%. It's being held constant for both the endowed and the contract colleges. We will see a stipend increase of about 2%. For the professional schools, all professional schools did increase their tuition of variable amounts I think the lowest was the vet school tuition increase of 2.5% for both people paying the in-state and out-of-state tuition, and the highest was, I think, 4.9% for the LLM law degree, and all the rest fell in there between somewhere. The Johnson MBA increase was about 2.9, and so if anyone wants a specific number on a specific degree, you can send me an email, DTE6, or you can see me afterward, and I can get that information to you. Other than that, the main thing that the board is discussing right now is rankings. The strategic plan last year said that the strategic plan of the university staff said that we wanted to become one of our main goals was to become a top, widely recognized as a top 10 university in the world. And so there's a lot of discussion now on the board about popular rankings, things such as the U.S. News and World Report ranking overall for undergraduate education, the various different outlets for the graduate school that several deans have identified as important within each of the different academic fields. And so the board is currently considering ways to marry the strategic plan and our goals in the strategic plan with thinking about ranking and other ways to achieve the goals that we set on our strategic plan that might also help our rankings and help people realize our excellence as a top 10 university in the world. And so if anyone has any particular suggestions, the board will be looking at that much more in depth at our March meeting. We have some breakout sessions to talk about various different aspects, such as what to do with educational excellence, what to do within research excellence, also in reference to public service, some of the various goals that were identified in the strategic plan. So if anyone has ideas or concerns related to this discussion, please
see me. Any questions or comments at this time? Evan?
Since you being the first question after all this, about a year ago, I think it was the VP Finance came and spoke to us and talked about tuition structures and all of that, and said that one of the long-term goals was to try and even out the grad research tuition between the contract and the endowed colleges. I think there's a few $1,000 difference between them right now. Is there any talk about that? Is there any progress on that issue?
There was no discussion of it, and I think probably, I do remember Paul, she was saying that. I think the reason that it wasn't addressed was because it was a 0%.
Right.
Whereas, I mean, they could have increased the contract.
I think if I recall correctly, and it's been about a year or so, the idea was that they would decrease whichever one was higher. I think
decrease to
match the contract tuition. I think there was a benefit in applying for government grants and things like that.
Yeah, there was a discussion of that, and so there's a new vice president for that office, Paul Streeter, has since moved to the vet school. In terms of Elmira Mangum has taken over, but I will follow up with Elmira.
I mean, obviously, in a financial climate that's difficult, reducing tuition significantly is going to be a tough issue. I just wanted to see if they can help.
I'll follow up with Elmira.
I think from a grad school perspective, which that thing is the reason why it's been frozen, it's still on the books as something as a goal.
Okay.
But because of the financial implications for an economic environment, it's frozen.
Of course.
Yes, Kenny?
Are you looking for specific comments from the department about which ranking are important to the department? Or?
I wasn't thinking about that, but that would be good feedback to have, because during the presentation to the board, we reflected on some rankings that are more important, and some rankings, Marie Clarkberg, the director of institutional research at the university, cited the one ranking where we were ranked 7th in the nation for stocks with jocks. So some of the rankings perhaps are...
Is that a good thing?
I don't know what it means, but some of the rankings are perhaps less relevant to decisions that the board has to make. Many of the deans brought out that particularly on the graduate level, there's very different rankings that are viewed as important. And it will be important for the board to be able to review the different methodologies for how these rankings are construed. Whereas some rankings, for example, Dean Mike Popikoff of the vet school mentioned that the rankings for vet programs are based 100% on pure assessments from other universities, whereas like the U.S. News World Report, 22.5% of pure assessments. So it's helpful to know what factors are contributing to those rankings.
Are there any other questions or comments? All right, well, seeing none, we've moved on to the end of all the agenda items, and we have 10 minutes left. So at this point, we could sit around and talk about what's concerning you and how your day has been, or the chair would entertain a motion to actually adjourn. But if there's any issues at this time that would be brought forth before the body, please raise your hand. Stephen?
I just want to do some self-promotion for my organization. The Association of American Graduate Day is putting on a film festival. First one is this Thursday at Cornell Cinema. And this is basically looking at a portrayal of Asian Americans in Hollywood movies all throughout time. It's going to be named from Charlie Chan to Harold Kumar. This is going to show on 421. So please come. I think it's going to be really a lot of fun. We're going to have professors introduce the film. It's going to be a good time.
Is there a website?
Yeah, blogs.cornell.edu/sga.
Chair of Curious, who's introducing Harold and Kumar?
Whoever's in the mood.
Any questions or comments?
An announcement, I think I saw one person from philosophy, I'll give you this later, but the humanities graduate students are having a field organization interest meeting on Thursday, January 27th at 4:30. And it's meant specifically to help fields without field organizations learn how to organize one. So I would also invite, if you're from a field that doesn't have a field organization,
field sure that has a philosophy.
Yeah.
Which doesn't have a field organization.
We want you there. And so it's I'd apply.
Chris?
I have a few updates from the faculty and Senate calendar committee, academic calendar committee. I know, it's so exciting. Here are some options that we're looking at, and I want opinions if anyone has them. You can talk to me afterwards. We are expecting to potentially start 1 week earlier in the fall semester. We may expand Thanksgiving or fall break by several days. If it was Thanksgiving, it would be an entire week. The break would be an entire week. We might start 1 to 2 weeks earlier in January, so that print that we just got off of would be abbreviated considerably. We might be ending and graduating students 2 weeks earlier as a result, and that would be sort of like leapfrogging where different colleges have their commencement. And we might only have final exams for 6 days, and we also could potentially eliminate senior week. So if people have opinions about these things, then please talk to me afterwards.
All right, let's
shortening the January break.
All right, there's a lot of mumbling. Like, does anybody want to address anything at this moment in time?
I have a suggestion.
Billy.
Is there any talk of
When we're looking at dates, we are doing our best to accommodate holidays. At the moment, there are some issues with moving things around. Actually moving the exam weeks forward, as I understand it, will fix the problems that we have with clashing with Jewish holidays at the moment. But the calendar is sort of complicated, so we might actually also butt up against other sorts of holidays if we move it even further in fall, or that would also change for fall breaks. So we're doing our best to accommodate all holidays. That is being kept in mind.
Any other comments for the calendar committee?
I like the idea of the full of my week for fall break.
Week for fall break?
Week for fall break, actually a week rather than like the 2 days or like the 3 days. Like either packing stuff on Thanksgiving or packing David's time to the Columbus Day thing.
Okay, so one of the two you would say. This is a debating point. So a lot of folks have different opinions on this. And yeah, some people are really for adding days to Thanksgiving, other people for fall break. Some say that fall break is dangerous because freshmen that should be studying go back home and forget everything. Other people are saying that, fall break is necessary as sort of a mental retreat from the shopping experience in the first 2 weeks of college. So opinions on that would be great.
One thing I can say about fall break is when I was my undergraduate institution, the policy was the undergraduates actually campaigned, petitioned the administration to have a full week fall break, and it was just at the end of October, and their rationale was really give students who wanted to campaign the opportunity to help out with campaigning for public elections. So I don't know if that holds any credence anywhere, but that was an argument that helped me.
Changing the date to fall break is certainly something we can consider. So, all right. Yes.
Would the beginning of the academic school year still be determined by when Thanksgiving falls?
So you asked kind of a difficult question. Unfortunately, the answer is yes. We have to have about 12 different versions of the calendar based on whether it's a leap year and what day the year starts with, and as a result, when Thanksgiving pushes around certain things, and that's why the January break, the winter break might be abbreviated by 1 or 2 weeks, depending on certain things. We could start as early as January 8th in some models that we're looking at, which obviously is shocking even more to the professors than the students. We'll see what we can do about that.
All right, moving on. I saw Chris's hand briefly back there.
It's fine, yeah. No, the student advocacy having a town hall meeting at some point in the year. I don't know if we've done that yet. Depending on the scheduling, I know the Cornell said that we need to do more of the meeting descriptions and the architect's recommendations. That maybe after we stop meeting, which is an idea that comes out before in the semester to have some kind of event.
That should be before, because Cornell has to go to the state. Otherwise, the emergency condition that was extended so the census to remain, and so Cornell has to have something before that.
You have to check. Well, that's an idea. You can't affect now, obviously, we don't know what that happens. That's just one idea. The signature issue.
Well, I know that the event committee and student advocacy committee are both responsible for holding the town hall.
You're a big family for this year. Try sponsorship.
Evan?
Motion to adjourn.
There's a motion to adjourn on the floor. Who seconded? Of course. Any opposed? Seeing none, we are adjourned.
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.